Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Tis the season. It is March. March Madness, which means the brackets. Bracket season. Brackets will be out a week from Sunday. Conference tournament's going on right now. But Joe George, our assistant to the regional manager, who does a fantastic job, he put 16 bad takes from the 2022-2023 season into a 16-take bracket. Last week, we went through a couple of the matchups, had some doozies, had some really good ones. Joe George, what is today's first-round matchup in the Bad Take Boulevard bracket?
All right, so today we're going to go to the 4 seed versus the 13 and the 5 versus 12.
Okay.
The 4 seed, Kendrick Perkins said, "The Warriors will never win another title after Steph Curry signed his new contract." That's going head-to-head with the number 13 seed, Adam Schein. Before the season, he predicted Aaron Rodgers would three-peat as the MVP.
Okay. Kendrick Perkins has been in some heat lately.
Yeah, he has.
Saying
with Joker.
Voters of the NBA MVP award are racist, which for some reason Molly had to apologize. Did
Why?
You see that?
No.
Because he was wrong.
Oh,
because,
but...
Because 80... I think it was, like, his facts were wrong. Like, I think he said 80% of the voters are white. Something like that.
But
I don't know exactly what it was.
And
they,
for him?
He was wrong, and they put her on camera to apologize for the mistake. How it was not factually
correct.
Wow, that
is awkward.
Yeah, so every time that I make a mistake, and we all know that I make a ton, we're going to put Joe George on the air, and we're going to have Joe George apologize for me.
Decline.
And then Blankers, whenever you're wrong, which happens far fewer than whenever I'm wrong, far less than whenever I'm wrong, we're going to have Joe George go on the air and apologize for you.
I don't
want
that.
Does that sound
good? No, I would I'm going to have Esme do it for me.
I'm not,
that's
I'm
a good
not
idea.
Apologizing for no
I'm going to have Esme do it for me. I don't want that dude speaking
Listen
for
to
me.
Joe George trying to act like Conor McGregor. I apologize for absolutely nothing. Anyways, this isn't even Kendrick Perkins' worst take of the year. I guess this is a new season, though.
They already won it, right? Yep.
They already won it, so the Warriors did win a title. The Warriors did win a title after Steph Curry signed that contract. And we also know that Adam Schein's take that Aaron Rodgers would three-peat and win the MVP is also wrong. So you have two takes here that were wrong. This is a very tight one for me, Blankers.
Okay, but I think the better chance of being wrong was the Warriors because of the fact that the Rodgers situation, having already won two, older and longer in the tooth in his career, that the chances were we knew pretty good right off the top that he's wrong. But
who, Kendrick or Schein?
Well, I think both of them.
Like, what was more likely though?
I think the more likely is of the two of them was that the Warriors were going to win a title. Rodgers could still win another MVP, but three in a row. No one really knew, and it was wide open. I think it was a pretty much if the Warriors, it wasn't about talent, it was just being healthy. I tend to believe that the worst take was Kendrick Perkins saying the Warriors would never win another title after signing Steph Curry.
I think you have some top seed bias here. I think you have some bias towards the top seed, the favorite here. So you're giving the favorite. I think they're equal. Like I think the chances
equal?
Of the
equal.
Yeah, I do. I think the Warriors.
I think that's a stretch.
Never
yeah.
winning a title. Like, the way that I look at it is which of these was more likely to happen?
Well, not every top seed is going to be upset, right? Some top seeds.
Yeah, they get, yeah, that's true. The favorite wins. Yeah. Chalk. You just go chalk. Man, I'm going to say, how are we voting on this, Joe? A collection of us, a collection of the Twitch, a collection of the text?
Yes.
All right, 713-780-3776.
I say Kendrick Perkins'
take
was worse.
See, I'm leaning Kendrick Perkins as well. Part of it, though, is because I believe that the Warriors were going to win a title. But I don't know if that was more likely or less likely to happen. All right, I'm going to go Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins had the worst take. You know what's going to break the tie for me? Kendrick Perkins' bad take the other day.
On the Joker?
Yeah, I'm going to have some recency bias here. So Kendrick Perkins, for me, is the lesser of the two takes, the worst of the two takes. The Warriors will never win a title after the Steph Curry new deal, and they won a title after the Steph Curry new deal.
By the way, as part of all that Kendrick Perkins Joker talk, go on Twitter and see that George Karl went at Kendrick Perkins, and then Kendrick Perkins went at George Karl and said, I got some dirt on you. You don't want me to stir up. I'm here for it and all for it if they want to continue that discussion.
I mean, he shouldn't be stirring up. I don't know.
I like Perk. I can't stand George Karl, but I would get some popcorn and like to see those two go on Twitter back and forth.
Don't get me wrong. I would be entertained, and I would enjoy if Kendrick Perkins did it. Yeah. I don't know if I agree because George Karl went at Kendrick Perkins for one of his take to where Kendrick Perkins is now sensitive to where he's like, okay, well, I'm going to start taking the skeletons out of your closet. I think that's Bush League.
Okay. Again, you can go back and read it, but George Karl, who basically really doesn't have a whole lot to speak on in the last couple of years, the way he's put himself out there with some bad takes. But I would like to see that as a nice back and forth on Twitter.
Uncle Barney says that he votes for Kendrick Perkins. And whenever Uncle Barney talks, I listen. So my vote has just been validated that Kendrick Perkins was the worst take of these two. How do you feel, Joe George?
Yeah, I think it's Perkins as well, just because even though, you know, Adam Shines is bad, because when's the last time or has a NFL MVP ever three-peated? I'm guessing the answer is no. I don't think Brady or
Manning
or Marino or any of these guys, Montana, none of them, I don't think would have three-peated. I could be wrong, but so that's bad. But I think people just wanted to hate on the Warriors no matter what. The idea that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green would never be competitive enough to win another title, I think it's ridiculous. So I think this one's Kendrick Perkins pretty easily.
Has there ever been a three-peat winner?
I'm looking it up.
I don't think so.
Brett Favre.
Really?
Brett Favre won the 95 MVP, yep. The 96 MVP, wow. And then he was the co-MVP.
No, that doesn't count.
With Barry Sanders in 97.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
Participation trophy.
That's the only one. That's the only time it's ever happened. And he won a co-MVP.
I'm kind of mad at myself for
year.
Not knowing that,
yeah, that's,
by the way.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it really is. I'm calling myself out. That was bad on my part.
There's only been like three players that have won three MVPs. Rodgers has won four. Brady's won three. Manning has won five. And Favre has won three. And Unitas won three. And Brown won three.
Patrick Mahomes. So what is how many was that?
How many was that? About six? There's only been six players in NFL history or so, roughly six, that have won three MVPs.
All right, Joe, what's your other matchup? We got two to do today?
Yeah, we got two to do today. Number five, John McClain.
Guys, I just want to tell you.
Are we picking the winners here, or are we doing that next?
Well, we can pick, or do you want to pick the winner now, and then we can do the next one in the next segment?
I don't know. Whatever
do
you
that.
Want to do.
All right, let's do that. Let's pick the winner now officially, and then we'll do
Kendrick
the next
Perkins.
One.
Yeah,
I don't think Perkins. I don't think anybody's like. Should we? No one's voting for Adam Schein at all. I feel like Adam Schein deserves a little bit more.
He's a 13 seed.
You think Adam deserves some shine, Jeremy?
Stop. You're terrible.
It was right there.
All
right.
I mean, it was easy.
Sorry. It was just right there on a plate.
It took you 10.5 minutes to do it. I'm shocked.
I wonder what the odds were.
I wasn't
going to
do it, but it was too easy.
I wonder what the odds were here.
I think Kendrick Perkins was a decent favorite.
Like, there had – like, I think that there was a better chance. Like, if you just go preseason, I think that Aaron Rodgers would have had better odds to win the MVP than the Warriors would have. That's kind of my hang-up here. What happened to the music?
I didn't think so, but
– I thought we were going to break.
What are you talking about?
Do you want the music back?
The winner is Kendrick Perkins. Carry the hell on. As he
I haven't.
Say.
I mean, I'm the only tweet. One. I'm the only one advocating for Schein at all, and I'm still torn on it.
You picked Perkins.
It's like the show.
No, but I know. But I'm trying. I think it's closer than we're letting on. I don't think it's a blowout. But everybody's acting like it's a blowout. So
no.
We'll go with it.
It was just of the two. I thought this one was more of a slam dunk.
Okay, all blankers right. on. I mean, we have to
right
go to break
there.
Now. We got to go to break now. This is getting bad. All right. So the 4-seed Kendrick Perkins advances. Were unanimous there?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. 4-seed Kendrick Perkins moves on in our bad take Boulevard bracket. What matchup are we doing next, Joe George? 5-12?
5-12.
Oh, this is one where upsets happen. The 12 seed always beats a 5 seed. We'll see if it happens with the bad take Boulevard bracket next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking,
unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I just pulled the odds on this, guys. The odds on the chances for the Warriors to win a title last year, for Rodgers to three-peat, to win the MVP last year, because he'd already won back-to-back. Mm-hmm. It was much closer than we've let on.
Okay, but the we got Warriors, it right.
The Warriors, to, we did get it right. The Warriors, the Warriors last year to win a title were plus 900. Rodgers to win the MVP last year was plus 1,000. Like, this was tight. This was a tight 4-13 matchup.
Okay.
It was tight.
I know. I'm glad you feel better about it now.
I mean, you could have voted the other way.
Yeah, you could have gone the other way.
I mean, I voted the right side of it. I voted the Kendrick Perkins was the worst take because it was plus 900.
Jeremy, I don't think you realize this because I can hear in your voice when you don't really mean what you say. I need you to really mean what you say on every one of your takes. So if you felt passionately the other way, that's the way I need you to go.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. Now you're putting words in my mouth.
I'm not. I'm saying if. I said if.
What did I say? Let's run the tape. Okay. I said it was far closer than we're letting on. I don't think it should have been as big a runaway. And the numbers would back that up a little bit. Okay. But Kendrick Perkins advances in our Bad Take Boulevard bracket. All right. 5-12. This is always where upsets happen. Where are we going with here, Joe George? Who's the 5 seed? Who's the 12 seed?
And honestly, I think we've got a shot here for an upset. The 5
Have we
seed,
had an upset yet?
The 9 seed beat the 8 seed. That's it. That's not an upset.
That's a
lot of times, yeah, a lot of times the 9 seed's favored.
I think that's what we said last week. It was when we the 9 seed was Jake wanting to trade the number 2 pick for Dak Prescott.
That's an egregious 9 seed.
Yep.
All right, the 5 seed today. John McClain wrote in the Houston Chronicle that Lovie Smith could go 0-17 and won't be fired.
How is this a 5 seed? We've had some awful takes this
I
season.
Found a lot. And then the 12 seed, Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM NFL, he went on a radio station in Washington, and he said he would take Carson Wentz over Jalen Hurts, and quote,
"Oh my goodness,
it's not even close."
Mm. This is a tough one. Now, I think a perfect landing spot for Carson Wentz, by the way. You know where I want to see him end up?
The Houston Roughnecks.
The backup quarterback in Kansas City.
But they already have one.
They already have a backup quarterback?
No, Chad Henne retired.
Oh, he did retire?
They don't have a backup quarterback. He's the perfect backup quarterback. When was Carson Wentz at his best?
When he's not playing.
Carson, come
very
on.
Good.
Carson
well
Wentz
played.
Is going to be an MVP. Carson Wentz was going to be an MVP.
Yes, he was. Absolutely, he was.
Where? Under who? Who was his coach?
Oh, you're going to have him go to Carolina?
No. Carson Wentz was awesome under Doug Peterson.
Oh, Doug Peterson
learned everything he knew from Andy Reid. Carson Wentz should go to Kansas City and be Pat Mahomes' backup. That's where he should go.
Well, but he was also, the year he was going to be MVP with Frank Reich and...
Yeah, he was the OC, you're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I could see him going to Carolina because Frank Reich... But it didn't work in Indy.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what got Frank Reich fired.
Yeah, that's the end of that relationship.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Carson Wentz should be the backup quarterback at Kansas City. I think it's the perfect spot for him. Plus, he doesn't have to play to Joe George's part.
Well, like, first of all, playing. The best case scenario is wherever he goes, he doesn't have to play.
Yeah, he's not playing. All right, this one's tough because Adam Kaplan's take is terrible. Obviously,
yep.
Jalen Hurts was way better than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz got cut. Jalen Hurts probably would have won the MVP if he didn't get hurt. Won the NFC, got all the way to the Super Bowl. Many people doubted him along the way and was very, very good. So that's a really bad take. John McClain saying that Lovie Smith could go 0-17 and not get fired, though. They won 3 games and he still got fired and no one batted an eye. No one cared. Like, we always thought that there was going to be like the PR concern and they had to live through that for
cared.
Like. Not in Houston. I didn't care in Houston. No one cared in Houston.
Well, that's probably more true. There was more backlash across the league and nationwide.
But it was temporary.
Sure.
It was temporary. Like, it was for a couple of days, and then they hired D'Amico Ryans, and no one is saying anything about that now.
For context, I think it's important to ask, when did Kaplan say that about?
I would guess preseason. That's my guess, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it was preseason.
Okay.
Yeah. This isn't the Chris Sims, Jalen Hurts, Gardner Minshew one that's on here, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's on this list, but that was midseason. This was preseason.
Because you already knew, like you said, Jeremy, we already knew Carson Wentz should have won an MVP.
He should have.
And played really well. Hurt. Yeah, if he doesn't get hurt. Well, I don't. They're both bad. I mean, I think from McClain's perspective, I think after what they did to David Culley, I think he's thinking about just the fact that we've never seen a franchise hire and fire two quarterbacks in 2 years.
Two coaches. That's not true, though. 49ers did it pretty
recently.
Yeah,
two coaches.
They did it. They fired two coaches right before Shanahan.
Wasn't the first guy an interim?
No, they fired Jim Harbaugh.
No, it was Chip.
Then they fired...
Chip Kelly?
Yeah, it was Chip.
Yeah, it was Harbaugh. It was a 3 straight years, just like the Texans. It was Harbaugh.
And that Tomasella guy.
Tom Sula, and then Chip Kelly. They fired 3 straight years, and then they hired Kyle Shanahan. Just like the Texans with Bill O'Brien, Cully, and
I just
Bobby
think
Smith.
McClain was playing the odds.
Dang, they went 3 in a row.
Yeah, just like the Texans, yeah.
Texans didn't go 3 in a row.
Yeah, I guess they did.
Oh, yeah, technically they did. Yeah, Bill O'Brien, I guess. You're right.
Yeah, see, I didn't even think of the Harbaugh angle of that. Now, Tom Sula, that's interesting. Tom Sula was the interim before Harbaugh, and then he was the head coach after Harbaugh.
Right.
That's weird.
Yep.
Like, I think it's McClain. Honestly, I think it's McClain. Both of these takes are terrible. Both of these takes are awful. I think Adam Kaplan was misseeded as a 12 seed because that's a really bad take, saying that Wentz would be better than Hurts, or you take Wentz over Hurts, it's not even close. I think the timing to your point here does kind of come into play. Yep.
It was July 21st, 2022.
There was a lot of questions still about Jalen Hurts this offseason.
There was
a lot of haters with Jalen Hurts this offseason. And then John McClain's deal, like... We still felt that Lovie Smith was a bridge. Like, did we think it was going to be a one-year bridge? Maybe not, but he was still a bridge.
Two at worst, three at best.
Yeah, there was no way that Lovie Smith was the future of the Houston Texans head coaching position. I got to go John McClain. I got to go to the general. I love the guy.
Do
living
you?
Squares and all. I do like the general. I like the general quite a bit. He's always been very kind to me. But I got to give him the nod here. He's got to survive in advance. I think his take was worse than Adam Kaplan's by a hair.
Guys, it's a double whammy for me today. My Baylor Bears lost in the tournament, and now I'm going to be promoted on Bad Take.
Well,
I got McClain.
All right, I disagree. I think that Joel's literally dying right now from doing a John McClain. It's incredible.
That John McClain impression can kill your throat.
Twitch.tv/ESPN. I think that McClain was right in theory. Like, everyone thought Lovie Smith was going to at least start a second season. And
you must not have been listening to 97.5 back then.
Definitely wasn't. I thought there was a really good chance that.
That kind of brings more credence to what happened yesterday, Jeremy.
That's not true.
That's true.
It's not true. So I'm going to go with Adam Kaplan here because I think everyone knew that Carson Wentz, he sucked. And it was really hard to think that Lovie Smith would get fired, honestly, for any reason. I just didn't think they would do it. I thought he would get 2 seasons. And I think everyone knew that Carson Wentz was a garbage quarterback. So I'm going with Kaplan here.
You really don't like Carson Wentz a whole lot.
I was going to say, but his resume was pretty good till he got hurt.
He's not good.
It was pretty good till he got hurt.
Like, his stats were fine that year with the Colts. And then what did he do? He choked.
He did choke.
So bad.
He had an underrated year.
When Jacksonville was bad.
He had 21 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Yeah, he had an underrated year. It's just those last 2 games were a travesty. He did. He choked. But the last 2 games, you can't take away the last 2 games. Oh, you're going to need help from the Twitch line. Twitch.tv/ESPN.
Yeah, when
ESPN
Joe George was with the enemy, remember, Jeremy, that
I'm not even listening. Go to the text line.
We had that one day where I just gave you the random stat line for Carson Wentz for the season without giving his name away because people didn't realize.
You didn't do that. I did that.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I found it on the internet in the morning, and I did that. I don't care who did it. I'll just leave it as in the house that we built, that it was a team thing. But it definitely came up, and we had a ton of listeners that were not guessing Carson Wentz.
No, his numbers were better than the eye test. That's why you shouldn't base it on the numbers. The text line's not in support of you, Joe George.
Ugh.
I think you're going to be outranked here.
That's fine. I lost some money here on this one.
You lost some money?
Well, if I had a wager on the 12 seed, I would have lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My
bracket's destroyed.
Our bracket's been very chalk.
And it's funny.
Baylor loses in my team, and then I win.
Everyone keeps saying that the bracket's chalk, and Jeremy, you keep saying, well, this should have been higher, but it's chalk city.
You
right
did
now.
Hammer me for taking the higher seed, and then you did the same thing.
Yeah, it's chalk city right now. My seeding's been perfect so far.
Maybe what I'm underestimating, because you're right. I mean, that's a great point. You're right. Maybe what I'm underestimating is just how many bad takes there has been.
There was one last week that could have actually been a late entry. So there's on a daily basis, they're still coming forward.
Yeah,
it's true.
6179, McLean once said no one will ever wear number 34 with the Texans, as Vernon Morency was wearing the number at the time.
He also once said more than one time on the air that Aaron Rodgers was not a first ballot Hall of Famer and that he might eventually get in after several voting processes, to which Sean Salisbury and I were like, there's no way he said that.
Man, yeah, his takes aren't always very good. He's a better reporter than he is a takesman, and we'll leave it at that. But John McClain, maybe he's very good at Bad Take Boulevard because he advances to the Elite Eight of Bad Take Boulevard bracket. Hey, Nick Saban's throwing shots at Anthony Richardson. Somebody just sent this to me.
Okay.
He said, quote, this was via AL.com Tide, whatever this is. We've all seen the 6'4", 225-pound guy that can throw it like a bazooka, but he can't make the choices and decisions. He can't distribute the ball. He can't throw it accurately, Saban said. So who's the better bet? I'm going on history, production, performance, and Bryce done it about as well as anybody else.
I mean, I get supporting your guy, but do you have to, like, leave a firestorm behind in the wake?
Yeah, I know.
That's
kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's not normally what a college – I understand it's Nick Saban. That's not normally the way you play your cards as a college coach.
Yeah, you kind of advocate for your guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, news. I've just been handed an urgent news story. Stop what you're doing and listen.
Breaking news. The NFL is taking a fifth-round pick from the Texans.
What?
And fining them $175,000 for what the league believes is a salary cap violation and what Houston believes is an accounting error that dates back to Sean Watson's training camp during COVID. So the Texans have been stripped of a fifth round pick and 175 G's per Adam Schefter.
Let's talk about that on the other side.
So Deshaun is still getting them.
What in the world is this about? All right, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Apollo Men's Health, that as I've been telling you about, they can get more energy in your life on a daily basis for both men and for women. But Apollo Men's Health offers so much more. I've also told you about body composition analysis so you can get your numbers right, get your body fat number down, get your muscle mass up. Those are all things that can benefit you on a daily basis. But it doesn't end there. You can recover quicker with HGH peptide therapy so that you feel better after working out and you're not sore and bothered by all the different things that you have going on in your day. But they also have a lot of other new technology, FDA-approved ways that you can lose from 4 to 6 pounds a week. And that when you tally it up over the course of a month's time, you have the possibilities of losing 18 to 24 pounds. That's amazing. So basically what I'm telling you to do is go to their website and check it out and see if there's anything that interests you, because I'm pretty sure there's a couple services that might be beneficial. All you have to do is go to apollomh.com. If there's some services that you are interested in, make an appointment. Most major insurances accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. If you mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. But let the process go from there. Go in and be honest with them when they ask you questions. Tell them where you're lacking. Tell them what your goals are. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. They'll put you on a program that works. They'll get you the results you need. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, Adam Schefter reporting that the NFL is taking a fifth-round pick from the Texans and fining them $175,000 for what the league believes is a salary cap violation and what Houston believes is an accounting error that dates back to Deshaun Watson's training during COVID. How this means the Texans won't be trading up to the number one pick, 713-780-3776. I'm kidding. Honestly, though, Blankers, if I'm Cal McNair, I'm firing somebody. Like, I am firing an accountant. There should not be an accounting mistake being made with your salary cap, with what's going on with your organization, whatever. $175,000 is more than you're probably paying an accountant that made this mistake.
True.
It's costing you a fifth-round pick, and many people are like, oh, well, it's just a fifth-round pick. And I understand it's just a fifth-round pick, but I'd rather have a fifth-round pick than not have a fifth-round pick, and I'd rather have a fifth-round pick more than an accountant who's making an accountant mistake. I'm firing whoever this schmo was.
I mean, I'm not going to be that abrasive.
I'm firing him. I'm But I'm absolutely fired
I have so
up.
Many questions. I have questions about more details that need to come out on all of this as it pertains to Deshaun Watson. And is it about, you know, whether he should have been paid while he wasn't playing, or is it about, you know, other things? And then from the league perspective, is it appealable? I mean, now I understand that they're coming down with this ruling. Can the Texans appeal? And if so, is there a way to at least look, the money's the money and they can afford that. But the pick is what really bothers me, that there had to be something more to it for them to take a pick away from them. And so then you got to really scrub internally to figure out, hey, what are the details? Who did this? I'm not going to go so far as to put someone on the chopping block.
They screwed up. You make mistakes that cost your team draft picks.
I mean, everybody screws up. Everybody's human.
Well, I want the best of the best. I want
the
best
in the accounting department?
Yeah, if it's costing me a fifth-round draft pick, you're darn right. You're darn right. An accountant shouldn't be costing his team a fifth-round draft pick. Have you ever heard of another accountant in NFL history that has cost his team a draft pick? Yeah, he should be fired.
Okay.
Absolutely. If for nothing else, the Cal McNair means that he means business or shows that he means business.
We already know that that's a smokescreen.
He needs to be a little bit more cutthroat. Jim Crane was cutthroat. Look what the Astros are doing. Cal McNair needs to be a little more cutthroat. Absolutely, he should not allow the accountant that made this mistake that's leading to a $175,000 fine and stripping away a fifth round.
Maybe it was your football operations who told the accountant, you don't have to pay this or you can do that.
And find out who caused it and fire that person.
So if it's not an accounting department, and it's someone in football operations, fire that person.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. They're costing you a fifth-round draft pick. Fire that person. And it says that the Texans believe it was an accounting error. So somebody had to have made the accounting mistake. Could have it come to somebody who was the accountant superior? Sure. I mean, I don't know.
It could have been football operations.
No idea.
It definitely could have been football operations.
If somebody's costing you a fifth-round draft pick, they should be fired.
Okay.
They should be fired. I firmly believe that.
I think you can reassign them. You can work with them. I don't know that you necessarily have to fire them, but it is where I need more details. I need to understand this more because I know there have been times in my experiences working in the NBA where, you know, basketball operations tells the accounting department, pay this, do it that way, talk to the league. They said this, so we're doing that. And then the accountant just falls in place and does what they were told to do. So, yeah, it's an accounting error. Mm-hmm. It could have happened with someone in football operations, but I definitely want more details.
Todd says Texans are the idiots. Rain Man, that's so Texans. Largo, there goes Stetson Bennett. Yeah, this dude's costing me Stetson Bennett, who I won in my dream quarterback room in 2023. Absolutely should be fired. Schefter says the Texans believe it gave them the Texans no salary cap advantage, and they were simply paying $26,000 for Deshaun Watson to train at a local facility while theirs were closed during COVID. That's kind of an interesting text or tweet. Why are they paying Deshaun Watson $26,000?
Like, I don't think they were paying him. I think that's where that's why I said I need more details.
Well, the Texans believe it gave them no salary cap advantage, and they were simply paying $26,000 for Deshaun to train at a local facility.
Right. I don't think they were paying Deshaun. I think they were paying the facility so that he could train there and make sure that their quarterback was still able to work out. Huh. That's what I think.
You think other teams were doing this?
I do.
Why are the Texans being stripped of a fifth-round
pick? Well, because I think that they're probably a hell of a lot better at covering it up.
Gosh, what a Texans news item. You know what I mean? Like, you thought you were escaping this.
It really is.
Over.
I mean, we see Texans are going to Texan all the time. We thought those days were over. Well, guess what?
You're getting stripped of a fifth-rounder and costing you $175,000 because you were paying something, someone, $26,000 for Deshaun Watson to train during COVID, who you eventually traded. Man, what a Texans move. CBS Sports, they were listing free agents for every team in the NFL. And they're like a good free agent fit for every team in the NFL. Their Houston Texans fit was interesting. It was very interesting. It's actually a familiar name. It's a familiar name for the Houston Texans. Jadeveon Clowney was listed as the potential fit, the good fit, for the Houston Texans. Houston will ask you, would you welcome Jadeveon Clowney back to H-Town?
I think that ship sailed. I think, me personally, I'll pass. I mean, from J.J. Watt to teammates to the fact that it became the first riff that became the tidal wave of Bill O'Brien versus Brian Gain. But I think we know his work ethic was questioned. I think we know that his practice habits were questioned. I think there was a lot more questions than just what we saw in terms of his physical attributes from the time he was drafted till he left town. I just think you can move on. You can in where you are in your rebuild and where he is in his career, I don't see that as a fit at all. I understand he'd probably take a 1 year, 2 year deal because that's what he's been doing. But I don't like it. I don't need it. I'd rather take look at Marcus Davenport or other people before I'm looking at Jadeveon Clowney.
This is the type of free agent that I would like the Texans to kind of kick the tires on, because I'm still looking for boom or bust type of guys, because the Texans kind of need volatile players, I think, and they need a few of them to hit to kind of, I think, expedite the rebuild here a little bit. But because you know who Clowney is why the Texans should be out on Clowney. I like the idea of a former first-round draft pick and Jadeveon Clowney's situation, the number one pick, that you're trying to bring in. D'Amico's supposed to fix that those type of players and bring the most out of those players, right? Like, I like the idea of that. But we know Clowney too well. Like, the fact that Clowney's been here for a while and the Houston Texans are talking about, you know, they want players who love football. They want players who try really hard. They want high-character guys. Those are the reasons that you wouldn't bring in a Jadeveon Clowney. So I love the idea in theory. Let's get D'Amico some really talented players that maybe have not reached their potential over the course of their NFL career. That part of the reason they listed Clowney really intrigues me. But because we know everything that Clowney's about is why I think you keep him away from a young locker room.
He's also 30 at this point.
Yep.
I just think at his age and the fact that he's starting to get dinged up more and more and miss time, and you factor in everything else I said about the work ethic and all the other issues that have popped up in the past, and because you've been there, done that, I think there are other guys that fit the mold better for this team, and I say for that hard pass, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I like the idea, though, of a player that hasn't reached their potential, that maybe has been a bit disappointing in their career, and then seeing how good D'Amico Ryans is. Like, I agree with you, Clowney, at this stage of his career, because you know Clowney too well, it's not that guy. But I would like to bring in, you know, a handful of players, whether it's especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Sure, for sure.
Especially on the defensive side of the ball, where it's like, okay, D'Amico, let's see how good you are at player development. Let's see how good you are at maximizing a player's talent. I love the idea of that aspect of it.
Well, that's why I'm intrigued by Marcus Davenport. When he came out, there was a lot of people looking at him going, this guy could really be disruptive. He could really be something as a pass rusher, and he's physical and all these different things. And then playing with Jordan, but also was a detriment. Jordan got a lot of the attention, but Jordan was still very effective. The Saints defense as a whole was effective. I don't think maybe he was utilized as much as he would have been in another team's defense. And I think that he has ties to Houston. I think if you added a guy like that and let D'Amico do some work and work with him, you might see another level that he could still get to as a member of the Houston Texans. Now, price is important, but that's the kind of guy that intrigues me more because he's still relatively young.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for B-Rock. B-Rock, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, B-Rock?
Hey, it's Vera. They got it mixed up.
Vera, B-Rock, not
hey
even
guys,
close.
Hope you're all aware. No, I know. Samson Ebukam and Aziz Alshire. Aziz Alshire has been buried behind Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner, so I think he'd be a person who has clearly not reached his potential, but has got a lot of, might have a really good fit with what, you know, and he could basically usurp Christian Kirksey. And Samson Ebukam, I was looking at his stats, he played a very high percentage of the snaps. And clearly, again, he's buried in the depth chart behind Bosa and Armstead and the other stud names there. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Look.
I can't get over they called him B-Rock.
Okay. I think that you, Elshare, I like him. I think he's going to get overpaid. I don't think the Texans are going to want to. I think he fits everything right in on point with D'Amico, a D'Amico guy he's worked with. He's still young enough, a guy that he could really plug and play. That would be that kind of guy. I think that he's going to get overpaid. I don't think that they're there yet to kind of try and capitalize on his strengths to the level that I think there's going to be some good teams that want to get better that are going to give him more. But I understand that when you start looking at guys that have played for D'Amico before, it's a no-brainer to say the Texans should be interested.
Yeah, there's a lot of safeties that I like in this free agency class. I remember when we went over them like at the beginning of the offseason. I honestly think it's a position that you shouldn't be addressing in the draft. Like Joe George took Brian Branch earlier in our practice. I think there's probably like half a dozen safeties at least, at minimum, that would be good fits with the Houston Texans defensive scheme with DeMeco, that I'm kind of addressing that in free agency. And I think you can get one with pretty good value on top of that. So to your point about free agents and, like, you know, players are going to be – they're going to cost too much, that's just free agency in a nutshell. Like, not too often in free agency are you signing players that you're maximizing their dollar. It's why I think you have to build through the draft. Hey, real quick on the Schefter deal, with the Texans paying $26,000 for Deshaun to train at a local facility. What are the odds it was the Houstonian?
Ooh.
I mean, I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek. I think 100%. I'm tongue-in-cheek here.
I think it's a great call. I think you're – yeah, because you look at it, it could have been Plex. It could have been one of the facilities in town where a lot of the pro athletes and the pro football players train in the off season. But based on what we know and what we've heard and what we found out about, it's a pretty good call.
Yeah. Maybe don't check the paper trail on where that $26,000 was going. All right, 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Is NIL name, image, likeness, is it running off college coaches? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blankers, I hear you have more beef with Joe George now.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, he's got his own little better ideas on the weekend show because he's on it than ideas that
Time
we
out.
Could use for our show.
saving material for his
weekend show. What I just told you. You got it so wrong. You're wrong.
Tells me about that, but he says, "Oh, we do this, and you were nominated last week, and I nominated you."
No.
What?
The Wheelhouse started a new segment called Chump of the Week. They have Champ of the Day. Now they have Chump of the Week.
Jake doesn't win it every week?
He won it last week.
Good.
Last week, I nominated Joel's audio clip and our audio clip of when Joel went to the caller and the caller wasn't there.
Oh, that was funny.
And I know Branham's going to love this. I knew that coming
that
in.
That was hilarious.
So what I told Joel is that, before he misunderstood what I said, I guess, I'm going to email BK what just happened because it's my fault because I got the caller's name wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought he said B-Rock.
Just now.
So I'm going to nominate myself.
B-Rock? How do you get B-Rock from Vera?
I can't understand our phones. I could barely understand when anyone calls. It sounds like they're like 1,000 miles away.
I can't understand how you found enough time to answer the call. What? You're so busy doing other things that don't involve anything with the Killer Bees because you're not loyal to us.
That's not true.
All you're worried about is thinking about the next barb to take at either Jeremy or me.
I was helping a future media member today.
Is Chump of the Week, is that good for team morale and overall?
I don't think it's any way to bring all 12 of us together on a more consistent basis. I really don't.
I think it just depends on what gets nominated.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I think it's a hilarious segment until they choose me. Then I don't think it's going to be very funny.
I think the other thing is that you also have to make sure that with a fine line, you don't let people get sensitive when they are the people that are targeted. I just think it's for the betterment of the entire lineup.
Not Santa says the last segment of the show needs more Joe George and Carlson radio.
That's why Santa's always hiding behind his Twitter handle. He, come on now.
That was pretty well played. Anyways, NIL. Name, image, and likeness. Jim Boeheim yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he announced his retirement. It sounded like a forced retirement to me. He was like, the lady was asking him, and she was like, "So are you retiring?" And Boeheim goes, "You're talking to the wrong guy." So it sounds to me like he got fired, like he got forced into retirement. But we have seen some coaches in college, whether it's football or basketball.
Yep.
Basketball tis the season. We saw Roy Williams step away a couple years ago. We saw Coach K step away last year.
Jay Wright.
Boeheim, Jay Wright's the one that, you know, I
forgot about Jay
one.
Wright.
Jay Wright's the one I look at more than anything.
David
else,
Shaw, football, Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah. What's he doing these days?
Nothing right now.
He was still trying to coach.
He interviewed
he was trying to coach in the NFL.
Yeah, he interviewed for a
Broncos
job.
He wanted to go to the NFL because the NIL was just too much to try and sort through and handle.
Do you think the NIL is running off college coaches?
I think it absolutely is. I think it definitely ran off Jay Wright. I think that more and more And we were talking about this in the gym today with some of the guys, and guys were on
show off.
No, I go every day.
Yeah. Look at that flex. Two flexes in a row.
Okay. Well, then you can flex too when you start going and start building up that muscle development on the Branham body. The thing is that the guys were on both sides of it, like you and I were just talking about with the Boeheim situation. Some people interpreted it as he's walking away, he's calling it quits. Other people were interpreting it as he was pushed out. But I think more so, other than the Boeheim situation, I think you're dealing with coaches that say, hey, look, I'm already stressed out because the pressure's on me every single year, especially with the one-and-dones in basketball, to try and recruit my tail off every single – and when I don't, everybody's pointing at me. And now – on top of that, I'm also, you know, that was most of the season just from a recruiting standpoint. But now I'm facing even more if I don't get the boosters and the NIL sponsors and I'm not working 12 months a year, 24 hours a day, just trying to bust my tail and be, you know, a politician so that I can get the money that it's going to take for me to get the recruits. Now, it used to be that, hey, if I had a good program with a good reputation and good runs in the tournament, I could get guys that say, I want to play there because they're going to be on national TV and they're going to get me exposure while I play for a really good coach. Now, that's not good enough because there's another team that's going to be similar, but they're going to bring NIL money to the table that's going to be what pushes it over the top, and the kid's going there instead of at your program, and it's just too much for some coaches to handle.
Coaching college in any sport has never been more difficult. Mm-hmm. It's for name, image, likeness. It's for having to deal with the transfer portal,
that too,
which is difficult now. And a lot of times, those two things like they collide. Where you have so many schools that they're recruiting players that are on teams.
Like, sure,
they're illegally recruiting players that are on teams, and all of a sudden you get players that enter the transfer portal, but a large part because they're being promised some NIL stuff. You look at the Texas Tech big man this year. Like, there was rumors that the reason that he was not playing in games and that he was threatening entering the transfer portal again was because of some NIL stuff. You go back to Miami a couple of years ago when they brought a player in from the transfer portal, guaranteed him X amount of dollars, and then all of a sudden one of Miami's best players, he said, well, now I'm going to enter the transfer portal unless I have that salary basically matched. So the coaching in college right now is a job that's difficult. You know, pressure's high too because there's more money in the game, so the pressure to win is immediate. You better be winning right now, mm-hmm. or everybody's going to want to run you out of town. There's not patience anymore, whether it's from the fan base, whether it's even your players on your team. Because, like, freshmen, how often do freshmen come in and, like, they're willing to sit around for a few years before they play? No, they're entering the transfer portal because they want to play right away.
You bring up a good point too, because
it's such a hard job.
Well, you bring up the point to add the whole transfer portal to the NIL, because coaches are already losing sleep and just wearing themselves down, worried about getting sponsors, donors, dollars, and NIL money. But now when you realize, once I get them, I got them, unless they're really willing to sit out a year, which a lot of kids weren't willing to do. But now because they've eliminated that sitting out of a year, they know that, look, you might have had more talent for whatever the reason. You might have had a guy that was a better player, but you saw in a year or two that kid was in your plans for the future. But that kid felt like, if I didn't play this year, I'm never going to play here and I'm gone. That's going to freak a lot of coaches out too, because when I talk about recruiting, you're not just recruiting thinking everybody's going to play in year one, but you're thinking, hey, within a 3 to 4 year span of time, this kid's going to play a big part in how we play in the future. And then if they don't get enough playing time or get treated the right way in their freshman year, he gone, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's scary.
It's just, yeah, the answer to the question, I think there's no doubt. I think there's no doubt that the NIL and just the current landscape of college athletics is running off college coaches. It takes a different breed. It is a difficult job. It is very hard to do. It's why Cliff Kingsbury, remember whenever he was asked about if he'll ever coach in college again, he's like, I literally rather do anything else because it does not stop. You have to be a different breed.
And here's the other thing, Jeremy, college. If you take the guys that for whatever reason could do broadcasting, and especially like a Jay Wright. He's already in the Hall of Fame. He's already won titles. He's done enough that everybody will never forget the career that he's had as a coach. But if he realizes, instead of doing that, if I just decide to do broadcasting, I can make a really good living just doing broadcasting work for some network for just covering college basketball, and I eliminate all that stress. And I probably live a longer, happier life than I do fretting about everything every day that goes with college athletics these days. And so a lot of guys are going to do that.
Yeah, it's a job that I wouldn't want, if I'm being quite honest. I think it's one of the most difficult jobs that is in the sports business right now, if I'm being completely honest. Did you see what happened with Kevin Durant yesterday?
I did. Did you see the actual video of it?
Yeah, I saw him just slip, roll his ankle.
Yeah, it couldn't look any more like he was just on a straight line. There was no, he didn't step on a ball. There was no one near him. And it just, the ankle just rolled over. And it's like his first game in Phoenix. You know, the entire crowd was hyped. You know that it was just this unbelievable atmosphere to basically show KD the love for the first time in a Suns uniform. And then an hour before game time, he just goes down on his own. And then there's more bizarre things that go with it, because then he finished his, he got up. He finished the rest of his pregame workout, and then the players didn't know about it until they were going out on the court to take the get in the layup line, and they looked back, and Durant was still on the training table, and they're like, yeah, he's not going tonight.
I can't trust Durant, man. Like, I can't trust him to ever be healthy. Like, I know he's an incredible talent. You put him on your team, you're like almost an immediate NBA championship contender. But are you trusting Kevin Durant to make it through 82? Are you trusting Kevin Durant to make it through a regular season and a postseason? At this stage of his career, he's kind of shown you that it's almost impossible, it seems like.
Well, I think that, one, we know that nobody's playing a full 82 anymore in the NBA with load management.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I kind of moved the goalpost there and made it through a full regular
season.
But I think,
to your point, I think this just completely, in my mind, pushed them down a notch in terms of being the favorite to win the NBA title. Because you think about it, he's only been with them on the court being able to play with his new teammates for less than a week and a couple of games. Now, if they're saying it's a grade 2 sprain and he might miss the rest of the regular season, now you're just basically throwing him in the middle of the rest of the team and the way they've worked together all year and saying, make it work. There's no time to have rust. You got to win a title going that way. I think it derails their title hopes for this year.
He got hurt in the layup line. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing all the hard work. I'm out tomorrow. Crate the Great. Patrick Creighton will be in for me. The entire team will be out at East River 9, so make sure you swing on by on a Frankie's Friday Fire. Thanks to Joe George for all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. They'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. I'll talk to you next week. The Wheelhouse is next on
Texas
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.